You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Buckets and Tea NBA show. I'm your host, Katherine Nyker. Thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. Today, joining me is special guest, comedian, writer for this hour is 22 minutes. And
huge overlap. Did you like this hour is 22 minutes? You must love. Well, who knows?
You didn't let me finish the intro, Jordan. That's the
issue. Sorry. Yeah. We're off to a great start.
He is an avid Raptors fan. And as well, he has a comedy album called Friend Daddy. And you can download that wherever you download music, which is actually super awesome. It's a great album. He's an amazing comedian. Please welcome Jordan Foisey. How you doing?
I'm great. I do love that people are like, what do you want to say? And I'm like, I have an album. And then people always have to say it. And you can download that wherever you download music.
Well, I don't know where
that is.
Spotify, Apple, people know where that is.
No, you don't.
Did I say it like I don't know where to get
music? No. But you can't download on Spotify. You know what I mean? Like, people are like, oh, where can I go buy it? And I'm like,
Is it not on Spotify?
It is on Spotify. But you can't like buy it. You know what I mean? I'm splitting hairs here. Thank you for the
I mean, I say that because I don't think a lot of people know that you can also get comedy albums where you get your music. Like, I think that's something that's not everyone knows.
That's true. Yeah, it's that's a good point.
You know what? I'm just out here defending my intros.
No, it was great. It was great.
The masses.
I ruined it.
Well, we have a lot of NBA stuff to talk about as well. I didn't get to do an episode last week because I was battling COVID. So there's like
much like the NBA.
Much like the NBA, you know, I was in health and safety protocols. I'm finally out.
You got sympathy COVID.
I got sympathy COVID.
Yeah, like you got COVID out of sympathy for all your favorite players.
That's true.
For a while.
Yeah. It was vicarious, but it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Catherine does actually have COVID.
Yeah, I actually do have COVID. I've been in isolation since December 30th. So this is like, you know, it's going to be a very loopy time.
Am I like the first conversation you've had in like 2 weeks?
No, you're not the first conversation. That would be wild. Like, I would just have so much saved up in the chamber ready to go.
That's what you should have done. You should have saved it all up for this episode. Just not talk to anybody. You know how sometimes when you don't leave your house for a while and then you go get a coffee and you realize you're super weird with the barista? You're like a maniac?
Yeah.
It'd be like that times 10,000.
Just have like a real like Bo Berman meets Raptors Republic.
Yeah, it's like, it was kind of funny, but it was a little too serious at the end.
Yeah, it just got a little too real and depressing as it went on.
She's actually in her guest house. Bo Burnham was in his guest house for that thing.
I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, after a while, you're like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, that's my Bo Burnham stance, which is why everyone tuned in. Okay, yeah. There's actually so much NBA to talk about. And of course, we have to talk about Klay Thompson finally making his return. I have been wanting this to happen for so long. Yeah. I read a false report that said he was going to return before Christmas and I was all eager about it. And now CBS Sports, I don't like you. You're not my source anymore.
Yeah.
But he's back. He looked great. Jordan, I want to first just get your thoughts and feels on Klay Thompson being back.
I mean, it's great. Do you have, I feel like I always have lingering guilt that the Klay injury happened during the final.
Okay, here's a question. Do you have lingering Klay Thompson guilt only, or do you also have Kevin Durant guilt?
I have guilt for both. I feel like the Durant one was so, it was already kind of crazy. Like Durant was still, it was almost like its own sideshow. You know what I mean?
Yes. Cause he was coming back from an injury and then that happened too soon. And
it was all like, so it's like, okay, that, and even Durant being on that team was so like, it just felt like historically like an anomaly. Like it's just like, but then it's like, okay, Clay's there most of the time. And then when Klay got hurt, it really felt like, what are we watching here? You know what I mean? Like it was like, it was like watching like a boxer that had been in the game like too long. You're like, oh, this is a bit ugly.
It wasn't a pretty win, that's for sure. I mean, I was so drunk that night.
Oh, and I like loved it. It didn't take away, it didn't take away from, I don't actually like think that, I'm not like sad that the Raptors won. Like it's
all no. Well, that's not what we're saying. It's
but it did feel
survivor's like guilt. Is that what
it is? Survivor's guilt. As a fan, I got so, anyways, it's awesome to see him back, and he looks amazing. And like, are Achilles injuries, he was out with an Achilles ACL,
he had an ACL first and then an Achilles.
Oh, I guess
on opposite legs.
I guess those don't matter as much anymore.
Well, no, I think they matter greatly. I mean,
but like, guys can come back for them now in a way where I don't think they were like 5 years ago.
You know what? That's true. I mean,
but KD's amazing. It's like crazy.
KD looks amazing. His ankle's
like flimsy as.
And you know, when Kobe Bryant had his Achilles injury, he really never looked the same again.
This is what I mean. Like before, it was like they used to talk about that. Like once you have an Achilles, it's like it's different. You come back and you don't have the same athleticism and stuff like that. But like KD looks pretty crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened in sports. I don't know the technology.
Could you guys turn your attention to COVID now? If you're like, if you're that good with Achilles, could you work on this variant issue?
I mean, it just, the whole game was crazy because, I mean, it was really great to see him back. Obviously, everybody's talking about how he's like the most likable guy in the NBA, and to see him dunk in that game was so. I mean, it was awesome, obviously, because it's a dunk, but also just to have like the gumption, the audacity, the confidence in your legs to just go for it like that on your first game. I mean, you love to see it.
Yeah, it was great. And it was also fun to see, like, it's always nice to see like universally beloved athletes. You know what I mean? Like there's so many that like for people get like so like there's so many like charged athletes or just kind of like or whatever, like people don't care, but this was like, it was kind of fun to see everyone getting like super excited for this guy to come back. And I thought that was really cool too.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot about like the Warriors and kind of like their legacy, and you're right, like Kevin Durant being on that team is a very like historic anomaly. And it made them so unlikable.
Yes.
They
went from really likable to so unlikable.
Yeah, and now all the way back again with Kevin Durant not on that team anymore. Yes. And I think about like, this is Kevin Durant not being on the Warriors is going to do a lot for Klay Thompson's legacy, because he goes from being, you know, the second guy, then the third guy, but back to being potentially the second guy again. And I think about how what makes him so likable is the fact that he is like, he's a Scottie Pippen without the Scottie Pippen complex.
Yeah, he seems like zen. He's like, it's like, I want to know what motivates him. You know what I mean? Like he did have all that kind of like anger about like being left off the 75 or whatever. But it's like, to pursue excellence like that, but also your excellence lets you slide in right beside like a truly great player. And there doesn't seem to be any of that. Yeah. Like that weird like thing that Scottie Pippen's doing now where he like gets drunk off his ass and just slags Michael Jordan. Like he's like, yeah, I got new whiskey. And I was like, Michael Jordan was a fucking shit, man. I love it.
So funny because it's really like you're talking funny. Like 25, 30 years later, and he's like, actually, Jordan sucks. Actually, but I carried that team. It's like, what happened over three decades?
And I mean, I can't really see Clay doing that. Like, I see Clay's more likely to start doing a podcast with like Woody Harrelson.
That reminds me of that Barack Obama Bruce Springsteen.
What is that called? Rebels or something like
something
that?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. Renegades. That's what it's
Renegades.
Called.
Renegades.
Former president of the United States, renegade. Like, I literally don't think you can be a renegade president. I think that they know, everyone knows exactly where you are. Anyways, Bruce Springsteen and Barack Obama.
That's a complete aside. But that, when you said that was the Woody Harrelson thing. That's immediately what I thought of. I don't know why.
Well, it makes sense. Two icons.
Yeah, two
icons. Four icons.
But yeah, like, he is really zen about it. He seems very, like, comfortable and confident in who he is, you know, and
which is all any of us want,
which is what we all strive for in life. I also think like the amount of confidence that he came into that game with was surprising, but in a great way, because I think you expect to see some nerves. It's almost right. Like we were all just nervous for him.
I wasn't too worried about it.
Really? Okay, well, you're just a cynic.
I was like, yeah, it'll probably be pretty good. Yeah, everyone was so surprised. I'm like, I don't know, he's been out for a while and he was like amped to play. I know some people come back lacking, but I didn't really...
No, but you weren't even slightly nervous, like the way he landed and stuff. You weren't like,
ugh. Oh, yeah. I have that with every player. Like, any player has an injury, I'm like, oh, don't jump.
Oh, that's so a real 180 on your stance there.
But I thought you meant more like worried about like performance or whatever.
Oh, no. I just meant like, yeah, just worried in general. I mean, his numbers, I looked them up, are pretty good. Like, they're slightly less than what his averages were before, but he's getting 15 points a game and I think 3 assists. And I'm not sure if he's still on limited minutes, but he was.
How many
for that
games
first
has he
game.
Played now?
Like 2. Oh. Okay. Maybe 3 by the time this comes out, but chill. 2 as we're recording.
I mean, if he does end up being good, which I bet you he will. I mean, he can certainly keep that up at the very least, you know what I mean? That team is like fucking crazy stacked. It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I think when I think about who I am kind of, you know, predicting to win it all, there's something so storybook about the Warriors winning. It's, you know, just crazy.
You know what storybook I like more?
Oh, please tell me.
Oh, this beautiful Warriors return season. Oh my God, like a storybook. And then Giannis smashes them. Just, no, fuck that. It's Giannis's story the whole time. We thought it was Golden State, but it was actually Giannis just like waiting there being like, no, this is, I'm the fucking king now. Fuck you guys, get out of here.
I mean,
that's the story I want. Giannis, like,
okay, I respect that. That's
like
the story
the
you
badass on the planet guy. I think that's pretty fun.
I respect that. That's the story you want. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the story we're getting.
No. But I think there's a chance. I think there's a good chance. I think if I had to
that, they'll come back. You think there's a good chance that Milwaukee will come back
from what?
Well, I mean, they've had a lot of injury setbacks this season.
Yeah, I don't think that matters. We've seen LeBron. We watched LeBron finish enough East play it like fourth in the East enough to know that the regular season doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Are you that good?
I mean, I think it's going to matter for the Lakers currently. Not that the Lakers are on our docket, but yeah, LeBron's carrying.
They're toast.
LeBron is not carrying that team anywhere.
The Lakers aren't coming back. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, that one's done. Oh, this is such an aside, but this really made me laugh because I'm a WNBA fan, and I also started covering the WNBA as well. Yeah. On a podcast called The Pickup. Somebody in like a fan
available group, wherever you download comedy.
Absolutely. somebody was like, people say that like, oh, like women can't play basketball in the WNBA isn't as good, but look at the NBA. And it was just a clip reel of Russell Westbrook throwing bricks.
Oh yeah. They're wild.
It is so bad.
But I don't know. I feel like out of any franchise, we have to be the, I don't know how much legs, considering the last two seasons, the amount of bricks we've seen the Raptors throw up as a team, I think we got to, I don't know if we're the franchise to like, we're in a big glass house is all I'm saying. And we're in the kind of house that Russell Westbrook would shatter in three jumpers. All glass.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Russ. I mean, Westbrook is Westbrook at this point. I mean, it's just bad. They want to trade him. They want to trade him for John Wall again. I mean, they're the only contracts you can trade for.
Yeah.
I mean, those two with each other.
Yeah, with each other, which is kind of funny. Actually, that's really funny. What a horrible, like, Kafka existence those two men are. They're, like, tied together now, like, constantly forever. Being swapped for each other.
I mean, we're going to talk more about trades and stuff next week, but I mean, it's coming up and I would not be surprised if the Lakers start making some moves. But speaking
of how I don't understand. Everyone's talking the Lakers are going to make moves. I don't know.
Told you, John Wall.
For how? Like, why would the Rockets even do that? They don't want Westbrook. Why would anyone
But they're not trying to go anywhere anyway.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they would just take on Westbrook. Like, for them, they're like, John Wall's chill. Like, I don't understand. Like,
I don't know. You're right. I don't know. I don't know why the Rockets would do that, but I don't know why the Rockets would do anything.
I mean, because right now they're like, they got a known quantity. They're like, this is as bad as we're not playing John Wall. It's not like crazy, you know. I don't know. All these like Laker trades, I'm like, who's going to trade with the fucking Lakers? Like, it's crazy. They just say people will trade with the Lakers just because. Like, they think they want to be in the news? Like, franchises want to be famous? They're like, oh my God, I'll do something with the Lakers. That means I'll be on SportsCenter for an hour. Like no one's going to trade the Lakers. They don't have shit. They're awful.
No, they don't have a lot of assets. This is very true. Going back to relevant teams, I want to talk about the Nets because a few things have happened with the Nets this week. First of all, Kyrie Irving is back. To significantly less fanfare.
Yeah.
Which always makes me laugh. And
have you seen his All-Star votes? Not that much, not too much less.
I know, but honestly, I think some of the All-Star stuff, voting stuff is like a bit of trolling on the fans' part. I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge is on that ballot.
I think it's just like people are just famous.
Yeah, no, but it's like, come on, have you watched basketball in the last 3 years?
You think people are
voting LaMarcus Aldridge?
You don't think there's just like enough Brooklyn Nets fans that they just like, it's like how when people vote in like elections, they just like go like Democrat, like down, like top to bottom, you know what I mean? Or like any other one. Like, they're like, oh, I'm a Nets guy, I'll just vote for all the Nets.
I mean,
I don't think it's trolling.
I don't know.
You think there's people out there who enjoy fucking up someone's
day? Okay, but even for the Nets, Patty Mills has been significantly better.
Yeah, but he's not famous.
But if you're a Nets fan and you're just voting for the Nets, wouldn't you vote for Patty Mills and Blake Griffin over LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, that's true. How does LaMarcus Aldridge have that many votes?
Like they would get the votes, wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
I think it's straight up trolling, and you know, I don't want to get into a whole anti-masker, anti-vaxxer thing. Yeah, I'm vaxxed and I believe in it, but you know, it's just that's a whole thing.
But to each their own.
Each their own.
Teach their own, like
because
like
we don't affect each other at all.
But you know, exactly. What were you gonna say? Because I have thoughts about the Kyrie vaccinated thing.
Please go ahead. This is what I want to know.
Your thoughts. It's like, of course he's back because it's a reflection of how both Canada and America have treated this pandemic the whole goddamn time, right? It's like all these big promises and sort of like stands and all this shit. And then as soon as like the economic realities kick in, it starts to be like, never mind, you guys come back, you only need to isolate for 5 days, you know what I mean? Like, it's like though America and Canada and a lot of countries were never prepared to do the whole thing. So everything just kind of gets half-assed and ineffective. And so it's like, of course he's back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Kyrie's back because it's also like, this might be a horrible comparison. It's like, because also they also have nurses coming back who have COVID. Like, it's just kind of like, you know, we tried to set up these things, but we weren't prepared to go the whole way. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's a different scenario because it's not rooted in like elitism.
Yeah. It is a far different scenario. And one's an emergency and actually matters. But, there is a certain.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's like what's happening with, what's his name? Novak. Is his name Djokovic? Yeah. The tennis star in Australia right now, where his vaccine medical exemption is the fact that he has COVID.
Yeah, not even had. He currently has COVID,
yeah. And that is why he should be allowed into Australia without a vaccine.
Once his COVID is over, he will be so protected. Once he stopped having COVID, my God, you won't be a safer person to be around. Whatever that is, we don't know. But once the COVID's over, holy shit, is this guy going to be?
Oh my God. It's just crazy. It's like no one else is allowed into Australia who is unvaccinated except for this one guy who currently has COVID. I mean, that is just where we're at.
And the other thing is like Australia has like terrible immigration policies. Like they like put like refugee, and this is a fucking,
this is a whole other situation.
But you can even, but anyways, but it's just crazy that like, and so he stayed in a hotel where like, I think they also like, it wasn't just like COVID people, but it's like, it brought attention to the way Australia treats like migrant people. And then so many of the takes are like, can you believe he has to stay in this hotel where they put like the migrants or whatever? And you're like, wait, what was that second part? Yeah. They're like, no, the tennis thing. I'm like, well, what the fuck's happening over there? Like, it's like,
I wish I could do an Australian accent, but yeah. there's like an editor in chief newspaper guy that's like, this is the story, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Can you believe they're keeping him on the prison islands we have? It's like, wait, you guys have prison islands? They do.
Got completely off.
Sorry. We can go back.
No, that's fine. This show has a producer now named Chris. Shout out Chris. Let's see if he listens this far.
Chris, keep it. We got to keep it tight on basketball.
No, I mean, like, look, like it's just, yeah, we've said it. It is what it is at this point. He's back. And the Nets are looking really dominant with him in the lineup. Like when they have a healthy, everybody there lineup, they blew out the Bulls last night in what I want to fully consider a statement game. I know it's just a January game, but that's a statement game. They're like, hey, when we're all here, the rest of the Eastern Conference is a joke. DeMar DeRozan, MVP. I don't think so. Like,
I know. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this Bulls team to crack. Because I'm like,
story Bulls.
Well, it's just I love DeMar getting all this attention because I especially learned to appreciate DeMar, what he did for the team. Obviously I always appreciate it, but like I was definitely not one of those people that was sad when he got traded. I was like, fuck yeah, that rocks. Like when he got traded for Kawhi Leonard, I was like, that's amazing. Like people were sad. I'm like, why? He got benched in the playoffs. He literally was benched when we got like, you know, and for like, and now, but then after he left and we went through, especially like those other seasons where you realize like, as fans, especially I was so spoiled where it's like, oh, it's actually very impressive to be able to score. And like, this sounds so stupid saying now, but it's so spoiled having DeMar. It's like having a guy who can score like 25 points guaranteed.
Like at will.
He will do it is actually like awesome. Like, and it's an incredible achievement. But at the end of the day, I think like, DeMar in the playoffs, DeMar's going to have to guard one of those guys.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I agree. Like, I look back at the at that era fondly, because I think I'll always love DeMar, and I think most Raptors fans are vicarious Bulls fans now, just rooting for him, right?
Yeah.
And as you know, I think almost all of us are. And but I do think, like, you know, when you look back at it, the era really was over. Like, we weren't getting any further with him. It had to be done.
We topped out.
Yeah, it is what it is. That's the thing I'm waiting to see. I think that's the thing we're all waiting to see, is can he do this in the playoffs?
Yeah. You know, I will say he's never had, I don't think any of those Raptor teams around him were as good as this Bulls team is around him.
Yeah, we've never had like an offensive player like Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
There was never DeMar DeRozan. Yeah.
He, like, Lowry obviously is amazing. Like, Lowry is incredible. But Lowry, especially in those playoffs together, I mean, who knows? Who knows what happens to LaVine in the playoffs? But it's like,
yeah, true.
Like, they have, there's so many people on that team that DeMar can kick it out to now, and they will hit a shot. Like there's no fucking Patrick Patterson's waiting in the corner to brick every fucking shot. There's no care. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, LaVine's probably going to hit an open shot. Caruso hit an open shot. Ball will probably hit an open shot. Vucevic will probably hit an open shot. I mean, unless he's being guarded by Marc Gasol, which is impossible. But, like, it seems like there's more. I could definitely see them making the finals, but I don't. The East Coast Finals. Eastern Conference Finals. But I don't think they can beat the Nets, and I don't think they can beat the Bucks either.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I see this team ceiling right now as well. I still think it's impressive that they're this good.
Yeah.
I didn't even think they were going to be this good at the very beginning of the season. No. I've said it on this podcast before, like, the Bulls have truly shocked me. And I'm happy to be wrong about them, but yeah, man, that blowout last night, I feel like it stayed with me.
They destroyed them in Chicago.
Like, it was, it's kind of a demoralizing loss.
Demoralizing. We got there.
And, yeah, I do think that's as far as they can go. But that makes me, like, I hate saying it, because I'm not rooting for the Nets.
Yeah. I mean, this is why you got to hop on my Giannis train. Though Nets Warriors would also be sick.
Well, that's the storybook, right?
That'd be awesome.
The Nets Warriors series is the series. But you know what? It's one of those things that's almost too good to be true. I don't think we'll get it. Just like back in the day, like, everybody wanted like a Kobe versus LeBron finals, and it never happened, and we got Dwight Howard instead.
It's true.
Yeah.
So you're not. So what would you rather see? Nets Warriors or Bucks Warriors?
What would I rather see? Oh, that's so hard, because I prefer success to happen for Giannis, but the drama that would come out of a Nets Warriors series would just be so good.
Yeah, it's true. It's very 1A, 1B. Like, they both, because it's always awesome to watch someone get their individual like achievement. Like, to, if Giannis like did it again, then it's like, okay, this guy's crazy.
Oh my God. If he beat the Warriors, that's like, awesome. Yeah, that really does change things. Yeah. It really does. The other team I want to talk about are the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant having, I think, the greatest block of all time.
Second greatest after when Freddie blocked that big guy on the box.
Okay, so number second greatest, one, second greatest block this week.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've been saying it from the very beginning. This is one of the few things I got right, that Ja Morant was going to have a breakout year.
Yeah, he absolutely has.
He's going to be an all-star for the first time. I'm very excited for him. I really just want to relive this block as just a work of art. But in all seriousness, is this not the greatest block you've ever seen?
No, because the LeBron on Iguodala in the finals is like the best block.
Okay, but that's a finals.
Well, I mean,
okay,
in regular season.
Okay, I think I think Ja Morant has the greatest regular season block I've ever seen.
Like, aesthetically, It's amazing. What was the score when he did that? Do we know?
I don't remember. So everything else just disappears, and it's just him soaring in the sky.
Okay. So is it the greatest block ever in regular season? Yes. Is it better than that time Kyle Lowry took three charges in the All-Star game? No.
That was also really fun. I miss Kyle Lowry's charges. I really do.
Oh yeah. So that's the thing. Is it the best regular season block? Yes. Does it beat any of Kyle's like 1,000 charges he took? No.
That's crazy.
No, I know. It was incredible. The way he jumps is like, it's like a superpower. You're like, holy shit. That's insane.
I think I've been trying to catch more and more Grizzlies games because I'm a believer in this team.
Yeah.
And they're just really fun to watch. I think they've also haven't even been completely healthy this season. And they're on, I don't have it in front of me. So I'm not professional. They've been on quite the winning streak lately as well. They're really young. They're really, really young. So that makes me nervous for them in the playoffs. They did have some experience with the play-in last season.
But
I don't know. Like, I've seen them blow a lot of big leads, and then they'll win it at the very end. But, like, you can't do that.
I think it's like a second round, though, I would imagine.
Yeah. I think after this season, they're going to try and flip Steven Adams for somebody. But though I really like Steven Adams.
Actually, I take that back because it's I don't think they beat. I mean, actually, I don't know. I could see them beating the Jazz. And then who else is there in the West? Unless, like,
I'm no longer a believer in the Jazz. I attempted it last year, and then I was filled with regret.
Because, like, I don't think I could see the Grizzlies beating the Suns. That's, I think, where the veteran kind of thing works. And probably not the Warriors, especially if Clay's good.
No, I don't see them being either of those teams in a series, but they'll make it very entertaining.
It'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like when OKC was like wicked.
Yeah.
Like when they had.
Yes, it does remind me of the early OKC seasons. I think that's why I love this team so much, because I love that team too.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
We could have had Desmond Bane instead of Malachi Flynn.
Yeah, that sucks.
When is it going to be? Can we make fun of Malachi? Like his bad, like, goatee and shit?
I mean, so you can. It's not for the record. It's not on the list of topics, but if you feel compelled.
It's just like, I want the guy to be good, but my God, every time he comes out there, it's like, that's why we can't make fun of Westbrook. Have you seen the way Malachi is shooting? It's like crazy.
Oh my God. No, we can still make fun of Westbrook. Because he has the contract. Yeah. But that's the thing with Malachi. I think at the beginning of the season, remember when everybody's like, why aren't we playing Malachi? And this stuff about it. And then Nick Nurse was like, oh, just people are outplaying him straight up.
I know. It's like, I'm the biggest Nick Nurse hater. We can discuss this further.
Okay. Yeah.
But he does always end up being right. Cause I'm always like, why don't you play these guys? And then Matt Thomas is one of those ones where it's like, come on, we need shooting. What about Matt Thomas? And then it's like, oh, that's why he doesn't hit enough shots to make up for the fact that he gets smoked on defense like every time.
Right. So you're admitting you're wrong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's always right about these players he's not playing.
All right. Well, we're already here, so let's segue into our Raptors.
Was that the moment. End? Was that the end of the?
Yeah, that was the end teams? Of our NBA okay. segment. So we just naturally I really like progressed the Grizzlies.
They're awesome, and I think they can make the Western Conference Finals, but I don't think they'll beat Phoenix or Golden State.
Yeah, it'll depend on how the bracket falls.
Yeah,
if they have to face both those teams, no chance.
Yeah.
With that, Raptors homer moment. And we've had big moments this week. Devin Booker versus the Raptor.
Yes.
Jordan, you messaged me specifically being like, can we talk about this? And I'm like, obviously we're going to talk about that. Take it away. What are your thoughts?
Well, I got a real hot take. This is a bar stool worthy take.
Okay. This is a bar stool worthy podcast. Let's be real.
I actually get why that would be more distracting than a fucking stadium worth of people like booing you and shit. I actually get why you would be like, get the fucking raptor out of there. Like, that'd be so funny. Like, you wouldn't, that would be actually like a bunch of fans, like 18,000 fans being like, ah, fuck you. You're like, drop, you know, tuning out or whatever. But one guy in a raptor suit in a completely empty place, that'd be so much more distracting than like an arena filled with fans. This is my take. I understand where Book was coming from. I don't know if the ref should have listened to him, because it's like, maybe that's also our home court advantage when we don't have fans, is our mascot's way more
distracting.
He's way more distracting. The thing I couldn't believe that they did is they did, I don't see why none of the Phoenix players were complaining when they sent out the giant inflatable raptor, like in the mid game. I couldn't believe they did that. Like, if I was Masai, I would have talked to like game ops, be like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Like, don't.
I mean, I'm upset that the raptor isn't just throwing t-shirts to nobody. Like, that is, I think you should just keep throwing t-shirts to nobody, and then by the time fans are allowed back, they'll just be t-shirts that have been sitting there.
Oh, and then the other thing I disagreed with was that everyone was calling Booker soft because of it. I'm like, Booker's nose got broken in the like the playoffs last year, and he like got whacked in the face all the time and like played through it. Like,
Booker's not pretty... by the raptor.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
Yeah. It's so silly. It's so fun. Did you see that?
It's awesome.
That Booker changed his profile pic.
Yeah.
So the raptor.
He said they're like boys or whatever now.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, yeah, we made up. We're boys. I don't even know if that's true. The Raptor hasn't confirmed that.
Does the Raptor have Twitter?
The Raptor has Twitter.
Oh, God. Well, we'll wait for him. We'll wait for him to confirm it.
That's so funny because he doesn't talk, but he has Twitter. I never thought of that until right now.
It's the only way he can communicate. Help me. Get me out of here.
He's like tweeting during the game. Like, Book won't let me do my job. Yeah. I don't know. It was really fun. I mean, I did initially when we stopped having fans thought it's so weird that the Raptor is there. Because you'll just see him just sitting next to the broadcast team, like bored out of his mind.
Running around. It is really good. Talk about like a surreal goddamn experience.
Yeah.
Just to be a mascot with no fans. It's like a Leonard Cohen song.
It's so weird that he's there, but it's a Leonard Cohen
song. So mysterious.
But now, like, now I think it's so funny.
It's really
that he's there. Like, I think this, like, it would be, like, this could become a whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think we should ever let fans back in again. I think we
like,
just
I
have
think he could just
every
really,
team's
like,
mascot.
I think
Earth.
The Raptor needs to embrace this moment and just really piss off every team that comes here. In his own unique way.
Yeah, it's true. Now, hopefully this does inspire him. Because that is the thing. It is like, we don't have any fans. That's rough for the home team. But now, if our mascot is allowed to be unleashed, like our mascot can do anything to distract the other team. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, now I think we're on a road trip now. So it'll be a while before the Raptor returns.
This is the make or break. The schedule is rough coming up.
Yeah, well, this really is the make or break for our team because we finally have everyone with us and they're going to be on the road with fans again. And I don't know. Yeah, this is the trip where we'll get to see what this team is made of.
Because it's also like, this will be when it's very telling because it is like, because they can be very tantalizing, right? But then it's like, okay, if they flame up, because they play all these good teams on the road. And it's like, you know, if they go 500, then it's like, okay, this team's like legit good. You know what I mean? Like, this team's fun. But then if like, no injuries happen to the three players who are the most important.
Who are those three players?
On the team? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like definitely Siakam. Freddie and OG. Like, that's clear. Okay.
I was only asking in case you're going to swerve and say Scotty Barnes.
No, not yet. Not yet.
I agree.
He, especially in the last little bit.
Yeah, it's, yeah, that's
it's true. Like he's ever since we went with the five lineup, which I think we should stick with. It's like he gets like it seems like he gets lost on defense a lot right now. It's like a lot of like
yeah, but he'll figure it out. He'll
It's I mean he's the most important part. It doesn't you can like that's why this next little bit is important because it's like all right, let's see what we have. Let's see how good this is. And then you can go from there. Because it is like really tantalizing, you know?
Yeah, I agree. We also got to talk about All-Star voting. The campaign for Fred is in full swing. Mm-hmm. He's moved from 10th to 8th place.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. Siakam's on the board now. He wasn't there before. So Raptors fans and Matt Devlin really doing the most.
Okay, can I confess to you?
Yes.
I've never voted in an All-Star game thing election. I don't know what you call them. Election. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
But do you think it should change?
Like I should do it? I should support?
No. Do you think Fred should be an All-Star?
Well, yes. It's just like I have a hard time getting mad at something that's not really built to. I get especially why players would be mad because it's like it seems like there's a lot of like basically financial implications of becoming an All-Star.
And there's also Hall of Fame implications.
Oh, does it help you get in the hall?
Yeah, and I think that's unfair.
That part, that is unfair.
Because if it's a fan vote, then it shouldn't be that important.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it is a fan vote, which I think it should be, because it's like, what else are we doing it for?
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have implications. It's
literally for children.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, I still tune in, but it's for kids.
Yeah, like, it's like, I don't think, then maybe change it so it doesn't implicate, yeah, Hall of Fame or like, that kind of thing, because it's like, because overall, I'm like, I don't get upset because it's like, so, of course, someone who's on the Knicks has like way more fans than somebody on the Raptors. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so many friggin' people live in America.
I think what will happen. This is my prediction. Is I think Fred will get the coach's vote.
Oh yeah, big time.
And be
I think Fred's gonna be an All-Star.
Yeah, because I think coaches love Fred.
Yeah, and I think it's very rare.
But this road trip too, I think, will matter.
That's true. Like, yeah, if it kind of drops.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Fred will get it because I think he's also done it. Like, I guess, who's gonna be his competition? I guess Garland, who's awesome. But it's like yeah. I think Fred is. If we are top, Fred has a little more notoriety than Darius Garland, you know what I mean? But also, we're in Toronto. Yeah. So.
But it's going to be tough because like people like Harden are going to get votes, or Trae Young will get votes again, I think, this year. He didn't last year, but I think he will this year.
Is Trae Young not already a starter?
No, the vote's ongoing.
But is he not ranked as a starter right now? Isn't he like number two or something?
No, probably, but that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many like popular guards.
Oh yes, Fred's not gonna
be a starter. And DeRozan is listed as a guard.
Yeah, Fred's not gonna be a starter. I don't think that's possible.
But I think, yeah, I think it will be tough. But I'm
really DeRozan has like a million more votes than him.
Yeah, Chicago, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's pretty, and like to get it in Toronto, you have to be like, not that the fans don't like come out, and I do notice there is always like this dip, and then all of a sudden. TSN's like, oh my god, none of our guys are gonna make the All-Star, and it goes up like this. But I think you have to be like a pretty like, you know, you gotta be like huge.
Well, Pascal got voted in as a starter.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, never mind. Actually, my hot take cooled.
Well, I just think it's good that people are really campaigning for him. I saw that Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer did a whole video on Fred VanVleet being an All-Star, which I thought was really cool. So, you know, there are people in America talking about him. I think that's definitely going to give him a bit of a boost. Yeah. And, you know, this stuff's all about narratives. So it's really.
And I think that's why he'll get it. I think the narrative favors Fred right now.
Yeah. So with all of that, have we convinced you to vote?
No, I got it. I didn't even vote in the fucking federal election this year for the first time.
Oh my gosh, really? Just for the first time? Just
you for the first time in my life, yeah. It was just kind of
feeling it?
No, it was just kind of like chaotic because I was in Halifax, but obviously I wanted to vote in Toronto. I live in Toronto, so I was in Halifax working at the time. But I also didn't try that hard to
get like a mail in or something.
Yeah, like that. I missed the deadline and I didn't call anybody. And also, honestly, I kind of felt like not voting more reflected. Well, we don't have to get into this.
Reflected how you felt?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, nothing was accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, I was not the only one who felt like that, it seems like. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if I will vote in the All-Star thing. Not that you shouldn't, fair listener, but I also think if you are a conscientious objector like I am.
That's amazing. Well, look, now it's time for... Oh, wait. Did I have another topic? Oh, yes. I have one other topic. Well, it's kind of a sad topic, but it's just something I wanted to note just about how all these legend former Raptors keep returning to no fans and how much of the timing of that really sucks. I just felt like I had to comment on it. Like when they played the Serge Ibaka video to nobody and the camera was on him and he's like shaking his legs. He's like trying not to be emotional. And there's just nobody there and none of the other Clippers around him know how to react, and
it was brutal. I hope they just do it again if whenever he comes back and their fans like just do it again, we'll be fine.
Yeah, they have to run it again. Hopefully they make it like maybe they make some edits to the video so yeah. It's not the exact same for Serge.
Yeah, but I don't even think he was paying attention. I thought they were like talking in a huddle or something.
They were in a huddle. But you thought he didn't even notice? I thought he noticed.
I don't even think he cared.
Really? No, he would care.
Why would you care about when there's no fans there?
Because he lived here for so long and he loved it here.
Yeah, but I bet you he's already gone through that. I feel like it would only be emotional if the whole arena stopped.
I don't know. I mean, JV talked about it being emotional to return here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, all right. Again, and that's another hot take cooled.
Not that you have to agree with me or anything.
No, you're making good points.
Yeah, like when JV came back, apparently they did not play his welcome back video because they learned from the Serge Ibaka.
Oh, good. They didn't. Okay.
Yeah, I. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but that's what I heard, that they did not play it.
When does Lowry come back?
It was so awkward. February. They changed the date, actually. It was the 3rd, and now I think it's the 1st.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that. They did change the date.
One time only. Let's fill that arena up. Fuck it. Everyone has COVID.
Everyone has COVID.
They should just
fill it. Yeah, they should fill it with people like me, people who already have COVID.
Yes, like Djokovic.
We'll just cough the whole time. Yeah. We can't even scream.
Djokovic can come in. Everyone can come in. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everyone can come. Let's fill that fucker. We can't have an empty arena when Kyle comes back. That's absurd.
I think we're going to.
That's
even if some things get rolled back, like I don't think we'll be at full arena in 2 weeks.
No, we won't. We won't. That's no. Nice. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do, you know?
I mean, I guess Kyle has a second return later in the year.
Okay, well, maybe that one will work.
Which JV and Serge don't have, so.
Yeah. But Kyle's on a different level. I mean, like, I love Serge, but Kyle's like, it's like, tragic that there's not going to be any fans there.
Yeah. No, I think it's tragic for all of them. I felt really, I don't know, like, I liked JV more not that I didn't like him when he was on the Raptors, but I like him more now.
Oh, yeah. JV's amazing.
Because he's really blown up, you know?
Yeah. JV's incredible.
But so maybe good. He had to leave to get like, you know, to spread his wings.
Well, I mean, we never fully, like, cause when he was in Memphis, he got to be like almost like the focal point of the offense a lot.
We never fully utilized him because the game was changing and everybody thought that the game had passed him. And then when teams just let him be him, suddenly he got to flourish and he has worked on his outside shot a little more just so he has it.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, there's a reason that we won after we traded him.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, there are people who feel we could have won with him, especially because we'd be so much better off with him now.
Nah, he's not sure.
But, no, I don't think. I think the defense on Joel Embiid was.
Yeah, and Giannis.
And Giannis. Well, yeah, but it was really the Kawhi switch on Giannis.
Well, Giannis said he always pictured fucking Mark coming at him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's like, I see the double. Like, he like has dreams about. And
when did he say that?
I don't know, like 2 years ago or something.
Oh, wow. All right, I'm just going to believe you.
It's something like that. There's some kind of quote. I mean, obviously, Kawhi switching on him was like the game changer, but I think that whole time, like, just Mark being back there and being like, go over here, go over here, go over here. It's like the way Draymond is. Like, he's like that kind of guy.
No, we loved Mark Gasol. I did too. I mean, it's sad that he's not even in the NBA, but he was aging out of it.
Oh, yeah, he was done. I think that's also why our defense has gotten better with the Raptors, because Pascal seems to be doing that a lot more. Pascal and Freddie, like, telling people where to go. Like, Pascal does that a lot more now, being like, on defense, like, telling people, and Freddie, they'll like tell people to like switch screens like before the action happens.
Right.
I think this is a good sign.
No, it's good. I agree. Yeah. With that, we have our what I am calling a dying segment, but it is still here. The Hot Girl Summer.
Do you know how many podcasts
highlight of the week?
How many podcasts I've been on where it's always like, we might not even do this segment ever again. The amount of the last segments I've been on.
It's just like, sometimes Nick Nurse has some really great moments, and then some weeks it's like, okay, nothing's happening. I'm sorry, these brown shirts that these coaches are wearing are horrible. I hate them. They're not even Raptors colors.
See, those are my Nick Nurse highlights when you don't notice. Oh my god. When you don't notice, for me, Nick Nurse should be treated. He should be treated like the way kids were treated in the 50s by like abusive parents. Like, better seen, not heard, or whatever. Like, when people are really strict with their kids, and they're like, we don't want to just stand over there. Is that a thing? I think it is. Better seen.
I think we're learning more about how you grew up. But
yeah. I may have uncorked something I didn't want to uncork.
No, that happened to me. I remember once I was telling our mutual friend Aisha Brown about how I really don't like hypotheticals. I don't like when people do hypothetical questions and stuff. And then she was like, were you not allowed to play as a child? And I was like, whoa. Yeah, maybe I wasn't.
I'm not even allowed to dream. Okay, so what's your Nick Nurse highlight?
I had to complain about the brown shirts. I absolutely hate them. But my highlight, it's just a nice, sweet moment that happened when Serge Ibaka came back. He reminisced on how impactful his speech was when we were down 0-2 against the Milwaukee Bucks. How he rallied the team back, and how Nick was just like, I've never forgotten that. That's all.
That's really nice of Nick. You know what? I guess my Nick Nurse highlight is I've stopped yelling in my head that he should be fired after every game. So that's
well, that's good. what has won you over? What has changed your mind?
Oh, just that they're winning. And the team looks better.
He figured it out. I mean, at the beginning of the season, things looked rough, and we just didn't know which role players were going to really be it.
Yeah, he does have it more figured out. I think sometimes with Nurse, it's just like, he has this style, and when you lose with the style, it's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain way that the Raptors lose because of the style that it's, you're like, are you kidding me? We lost because fucking Jay Crowder hit like 5 threes or whatever. That's a bad example, because that game was wicked. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like getting dusted by the worst role players time and time again on corner threes. You're like, God, do we have to do this?
Yeah, yeah. I remember we joked on Freddie's podcast, Confederacy of Dunks, about how he Tice looked like an all-star.
Yeah,
it's like, in the Boston series. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Everyone talks about how Kyle gets all these people paid. It's like, how Nurse has probably gotten people paid with his like insane defensive schemes.
And yeah, well, again, actually, he was on the JJ Redick podcast. I forgot because I've had COVID. Also happened in the last 2 weeks. I should have talked about that. Where he talked about his coaching style, and he said,
I don't mean his team's players. I mean other teams' players
that he has previously coached.
He just gets them paid more because everyone's like, oh my god, this guy could shoot. And then it's like, no, they were just playing the Raptors in the playoffs. That doesn't count as being able to shoot.
Well, you know, he did say that he thinks about how to increase players in the marketplace, the value in the marketplace.
I did actually like that.
He does that for Daniel Tice, too.
Yeah, he's worried about everyone.
He's worried about everybody.
That's he's a very decent man that way.
Yeah, he's worried about Jay Crowder, too.
Yeah. Who's that guy in the Celtics, Grant Lawrence, or whatever his name is? No, Williams.
Yes. So I was like, I don't remember a Grant Lawrence. Anyway, Jordan, that's been our episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find you on the internets?
They can follow me on Twitter, I guess, at Jordan Foisey. I'll be on there, you know, telling jokes.
Doing your thing.
Doing my thing, yeah.
And you are active on Twitter, I will say.
Oh, I'm hyperactive on there.
And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram at @itsme_Catherine, spelled CATHRYN. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.